Against Poverty is a national charity. We partner with churches, always we partner with churches, to work with people who might otherwise be overlooked in society because of extreme poverty or debt. So that is us. So I'm employed by St. John's Church in Saxmundham, but we work with churches across our whole geographical area, which is the next slide. Okay, so that is the area that we work in. So that is more or less Woodbridge down to Southwold and Beccles, and then everywhere off pretty much in between. So that's our area. And so we try and find churches in all of those areas to partner with us. And obviously in Framlingham, we've got you, which is great. So the next slide. So as I said in the quiz, our mission statement is empowering churches, transforming lives, and an end to UK poverty. And the reason I really wanted that Bible reading that we just had is because in it, Jesus says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And growing up, it always seemed to me that everywhere Jesus went, in Bible times, they were just surrounded by crippled, lame, and blind people. And we're not, really. We don't always just walk down the street and see these people, that it's just so easy to help. And particularly, and one of the things that I'll talk about is that people who live in extreme poverty are often very, very isolated. So it's quite hard for churches to find those people who really, really need us. And I think that's one of the things I really love about CAP, is that it finds our metaphorically poor, crippled, lame, blind people, and it helps us and gives us the tools to serve them. But not in just a kind of well-meaning way. You know, we have a huge head office up in Bradford that is run by professional debt advisors and financial advisors. And so all that the advice that we give is professional, regulated by the FCA, and really, really good. So we're able to help people in a way that actually makes a difference. And then alongside of that, we can offer them the church community as well. So I just wanted to introduce you to our next character, who is a not one of mine, but an ex-CAP client called Simon. And I thought if I just showed you this video, that would give you an insight into some of the work that the debt counselling does. I really love that story. And one of the things that I think is really striking about it, and is the case increasingly for a lot of our clients as our economic situation gets worse, is that Simon was really isolated until he met his church family. And 75%, as I said in our quiz, of our clients experience loneliness or isolation because of their poverty. Because if you're living in poverty, it's really hard to socialize apart from anything, and hard to go out. And obviously along with that comes an awful lot of other situations, you know, like it affects your mental health and things like that. So the main service that we offer is our debt help. And when we go to visit somebody in their home, Simon said, we come to their home, we always take with us what we call a befriender, which is somebody from the local church. Now, we cover a lot of areas, so that's a lot of churches that we have to partner with. And we always try and find someone from the church community that is closest to them. And that befriender is simply there to offer friendship and the church to them, because obviously if it's somebody in Beccles or Framlingham, that's not my church area. But if I take a befriender with us from that area, then they can offer that church community to them. And the big problem that we're having at the moment is because we are running at full capacity, which means we take on 2 new clients every month. Well, we don't lose our old clients, we keep them, but we take on 2 new ones. That means that every month we need to find 2 new befrienders from local churches. So at the moment, I know Julia asked me to think of some prayer points, and that is definitely one of our prayer points, is that we will be able to develop our partnership with churches like yours, and I know we have a really good partnership with you, so that we can get more befrienders, so that when we visit people, we can take them someone from the local church. And sometimes they don't need very much at all. They don't particularly, lots of our clients don't need that or aren't particularly isolated, but an increasing number are and do want and need that support. And it might be practical support, like phoning up British Gas to find out how much they owe, or it might be taking them along to something at church or things like that. So the main way that we are really different to other debt charities, because our main work is debt counselling, the main way that we're different is that we support clients throughout their whole journey out of debt, and we go to their homes. So we do three visits initially with a client to get them on the journey out of debt. So if I could just give you an example of a client that I've been working with recently. On our first visit, we established that the family didn't have any beds. So we started off by being able to try and find them beds. And then we also established that they were really struggling to buy food. So we've managed to get them linked up to local food pantry that gives them deliveries every week. So that was what we have done on our first visit. On our second visit, we were able to help them gather all the paperwork and things like that they needed for council tax and water. And we've given everything, all that paperwork, to head office. And then last week, I got the information through from head office. They've created a professional financial statement with all the details of their income and their expenditure and how their suggested route out of debt for this person. And then they've also created a budget. But unfortunately, it's what's called a broken budget, which is now the case for the vast majority of our clients. And I had to phone up my area manager about it, because a broken budget basically means that there is not enough money coming in to pay for their gas, their electric, and their food. And therefore, some horrendous decisions have to be made. So you might be saying to a single mother who lives in the middle of nowhere and drives her children to school, you can't afford your car. But obviously, they have to have their car. But so, you know, it's a broken budget. And I phoned up my area manager and I said, I've got to go and see this client with this broken budget. And it's impossible. I can't tell them that they've got to live like that. What do I do? And he said this. He said, when you get this, and we get it a lot, you sit with them and you cry with them and you let them know that you're going to journey with them for however long it takes. So that's really what we do. And that's how our debt counselling really is a little bit different to other areas. So what else do we offer? as well as that, we're doing our CAP Money courses, which Julia runs a lot of. We've been doing them in, this year we did them in Bennell Primary School, and we did them in the Family Hub in Laceham. And the money courses are great. They're for everyone. They're not necessarily for people who are in debt. They're often for people who just want to feel a little bit more in control of their money. Or they might be people who've been in debt or are worried they're going to be in debt, to help them manage their money better. So that's our money courses. And then, really exciting, we've been given a grant by Public Health for Suffolk to deliver CAP Money Kids and CAP Money Youth to all the primary schools and all the secondary schools in our area. We are, again, a little bit concerned about that, because we're not sure that they're all going to ask us to do it, but we've put together a team and we're starting to deliver that this week. We're going into Bennell this week to do that. And then we've got two other schools that have come back and said they want to do that. So this year, we're hoping to get into as many of the schools as possible. And the CAP Money Kids and CAP Money Youth is literally about teaching children what budgeting is and how you might budget. For the primary school age children, it's quite simple. And actually, they talk about their household budgets and how their, you know, their mums might say, oh, we can't afford this. And we talk about things like that. For the secondary school age children, it's for children who are 15 and 16. So just going to be able to start getting bank accounts and things like that. And it talks about things like, well, if you want to have driving lessons, how are you going to earn the money to pay for them. And if you want to have a car, how are you going to do that? And we make choices. They help. We have a scenario of a teenage boy, and they have to kind of make choices for him so that young people are learning as they leave school that they need to budget. So that's our CAP money. And then our final course that we offer is CAP Life Skills, which we started in September this year in Saxmundham. And Life Skills is a course for people who are managing or not managing on a very low budget, on very reduced income. So this time in Saxmundham, we had 6 clients. And it's an 8-week course. We start with coffee and cake. We finish with lunch. And it really helps to build up community. And it was really amazing. We had our youngest person that came was 19. And our oldest was, I don't know exactly how old she was, but she'd been retired for quite a while. And they all made really good friends. They were all supportive of each other. And we're going to be running another one in 2 weeks' time in Key Church in Woodbridge. And 4 of the 6 clients from the Saxmundham one have got together. One of them's got a car, and they've decided that they want to come to the Woodbridge one together as well, because they don't want it to stop, because they really were able to get that sort of community and support from each other. So that's Life Skills, which is our final course. So there's a lot of prayer points. Julia asked me to think of some prayer points. We're growing so much, and we're becoming so full that it feels quite daunting at the moment. So definitely for the CAP money in schools, if you could pray for that, and pray that the schools take up our offer and that they enjoy it, the children enjoy it. Our Life Skills course, we've got our second course starting in Woodbridge in Key Church next week. Obviously, we just really hope that the people that God wants to come to that will come to that, and that it's a really successful course. Befrienders, as I said, we desperately need them from across the whole of our area. And we need churches like yours that will partner with us to help us bring people into the church community. Our referral agencies are people like social workers, the job centre, health visitors, other charities, and they all refer people to us. And so it's really important that we then offer a service to their clients that they like. And so it would be really great if you could pray for our relationships with those referral agencies. At the moment, they all seem to like us, but it's a lot of work and a lot of effort to keep up that relationship. And it would be really great to have prayer for that. And similarly, as part of that, I go into the job centre in Woodbridge once a month to run clinics with their clients. And sometimes they are really successful and we have lots of people, and sometimes not very many at all. So that would be another area that we would pray for. And similarly, Suffolk County Council, who we work quite a lot with, they all kind of really come together. Then our debt coaches. So we have one other debt coach, who is Chris, and then myself, and our clients. As I've said, increasingly, our clients are really struggling with the cost of living crisis. And then our leadership team, of whom Julia is one, and that we would, there's so much need, and it's really hard to know how to respond to it all and where we should go and what we should do. So it would be really great to have guidance in that from God on what we do and how we do it. Yes, so Peter runs with Sue our Life Skills courses. So Life Skills it's an 8-week course, and it's quite intense. It's brilliant, and he and Sue run that.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. Would you like to do a little bit of Q&A? Does anybody have any questions for Laura? Mark, should I get the mic?
Do you feel that secondary schools particularly teach and enable students to empower themselves ready for work life?
You could be asking Rishi Sunak that.
I should, yeah. In my opinion, schools don't prepare youngsters for this. If the parents don't do it, they're stuffed.
Yeah, I mean, as an ex-teacher, I'd say the problem is that schools are expected to do absolutely everything. but no, definitely there is a place for more teaching on budgeting. And, you know, CAP's well placed to do that. So it would be, you know, yes, I think they should all be phoning me up and begging me to come in and teach their year 11s. yeah, no, there is definitely a place for it. And I don't think there is enough of it, really. No.
Yeah. Laura, you said about your area manager said to sit and cry with this person, but there are a few places you can go, aren't there, to get some help?
Yeah, we always try and refer people to other. Is that what you mean? Like,
financial inclusion team and people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Suffolk Council are actually pretty good. They have a financial inclusion team. They have family workers. And that is very much else we try and refer.
I know one befriender told me that she actually went with the client to, this is Karen.
Definitely, the CAB are really good with that. And we do have quite a good, they don't like to refer to us because they like to do it all in-house, but we do have a good relationship with them. And they are very helpful. But then when I speak to them now, when I speak to Kiara's the CEO of Citizens Advice for this area, and she said, you know, we're struggling as well to know what to do for people. Okay, so we do things like living on a budget, shopping on a budget. So we would look lightheartedly, but we would look at like things like shelf placement and how loss leaders and, you know, things that the supermarkets do to get us to spend money. We'll try and just tell people about that. And then we look at how you can cut back or cut costs. We look at cooking on a budget. We do a couple on mental health and keeping healthy physically and mentally. What else do we do? We do how to understand a utility bill. And we had a brilliant session from Peter on which was revelation to me. He was explaining how apparently when you look on the bottom of all your electrical things, they tell you they've got different numbers on them about how much electricity that appliance uses. So he was teaching us all to work out how much that would then cost us to use that appliance for the length of time you might use it, and therefore how you could compare whether it would be better to turn on your microwave or your air fryer or that sort of thing. So we try and do all those things that some of us might not know.
Any other questions?
You, the video you showed that guy, he came to faith. I'm just wondering, obviously it's a giveaway in the title of the organisation, but how does Christianity play out, aside from the fact you're doing what Christ told us to do, to what extent do people link up with you who have an interest in possibility in faith? How do you manage that dimension, that's what I'm saying?
The main thing is, so I'm quite tentative, probably a lot more tentative about it than some centre managers. But the main thing is that we always offer to pray with somebody. And actually, I thought nobody would ever want us to pray with them. But actually, I've never yet come across somebody who didn't say, oh, yes, please, which is great, really. And then we would look for ways that we could invite them to things. So we would invite clients, like at Christmas, we might invite them to something, or if someone's doing a special, some church that the befriender goes to is doing a special event, we would invite them to that. But very gently, and always making it very clear that it's absolutely not a condition of our service. It's just kind of added bonus if they fancy it.
I just wanted to ask about lobbying and political influence, how CAP deals with, you know, the fact that we've had years and years of promises on gambling reform, for instance, whether or not, you know, because these things are key to debt control for a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, is there a program for that? You guys are stretched enough already.
So political lobbying. So yeah, our CEO and the CEO of the Trussell Trust and of other poverty relief charities, actually their main job is political lobbying. So they go along to the party political conferences. They're often in Westminster. They are often consulted before policy comes out or when there is a new policy, they are often spoken to about it. So I think increasingly that is what the heads of the charities are doing. But then the flip side of that would be if we're ever asked anything like by a radio station or a newspaper or everything, we always would say, well, we are not political, but it would be really great if universal credit was raised. But we are not political, but our CEOs are. Nick is often on there, yes. And because he's not directly employed by the Debt Centre, he can be a little bit more political. But there is a lot of lobbying in Westminster by not just CAP, but by the major charities.
Brilliant. Thank you.